How could that man just get up after you did?
Not a man. Machine. Terminator. Cyberdyne Systems Model 101.
Like a robot?
Not a robot. Cyborg. The Terminator's an infiltration unit. Part man, part machine. Underneath, it's a hyperalloy combat chassis. Microprocessor controlled. Fully armored. Very tough. But outside, it's living human tissue.
Remember the Terminator? Or the replicants from Blade Runner? That future doesn't scare James Hughes. Hughes is the author of Citizen Cyborg and a former director of the World Transhumanist Association. He believes there's a better future ahead for humans once we figure out how to merge our computer technology with our flesh. He told Steve Paulson, we've already taken the first steps with cochlear implants that let deaf people hear and visual cortex implants that let the blind see. How far might that technology go in the future?
Well, this is where the nanotechnology comes in. If you can get machines down to the level of, say, a virus or to the level of the neuron, then you can have very fine-tuned communication between what's happening neurally inside your head and hopefully billions and trillions of these machines that we could have inside of our heads. And then you could have immersive virtual reality, for instance. You could just hit a switch and all of your sense data would be replaced by computer-generated sense data, and you could be in some virtual environment, or you could have overlays of information, you know, over what you're seeing and hearing.
So basically you're saying instead of what a virtual reality experience is now, you know, you put on headphones or you're hooked up to some machine, you're saying...
It'd be like the Matrix. You'd yeah. be there. You'd mm-hmm. feel like you were there. And conversely, you would be able to download and save parts of what's happening in your senses and in your memory, and that would allow us to back up significant portions of our lives, of our personality.
What makes you think you can do that? Because there's an enormous controversy about whether the brain really does work like a computer. I mean, there are a lot of neuroscientists who say that's nonsense, that the brain is far more complex and there are all kinds of things that we don't know, especially at the neuronal level, about what really is happening.
We know that brain-computer interfaces are going to be possible because we're already doing that. But whether we can actually back up a high-resolution copy of human personality in a machine, granted, that may not be possible. But I think an important point to make is that psychopharmacology, nanotechnology, robotics, and genetic modification, they're all converging. What we see is that the sciences are cross-fertilizing. So we're figuring out how to take viruses and engineer them down to their rudimentary. You know, we know what each pair bond in the DNA does and what it produces. And we can print out a virus that's entirely novel, that does an entirely novel thing. And our capacity to do that means that we will be able to make molecular machines, which aren't on the robotics model, they're on the biological model. So I'm pretty sure that however we get there, it's going to be kind of wet. It's not going to be little pieces of silicon. It's going to be wet stuff.
Hmm. Put your science fiction hat on for a moment. Not even science fiction, your speculative hat on. And tell me what you think the human being 1,000 years from now is going to look like, or you know, how that person is going to be different than we are today.
I can imagine a Hughes family reunion in a couple 100 years where... You know, one person's come in from Mercury and they're in their, you know, adamantine diamond body, and another person's come in from Mars and they've got the gills, and another person has the wings, and another person's sitting in the box, you know, talking to us through their interface.
Are you serious about this?
I'm absolutely serious. And I don't think there will be a human being in 1,000 years in the sense that there will be a huge, an enormous and unimaginable variety of different kinds of human instantiations. They may all consider themselves to be human.
This is really a profound challenge to the way most of us think about ourselves. I mean, we think that there's some core to who I am, to who you are. There's something essential that's continuous that kind of defines who we are. You're saying, from this scientific perspective, you're mapping out that that's an illusion.
And I think that that's the most profound challenge in the neurotechnology domain to the way that we're going to have to adapt to the future. Because even if you imagine, you know, your own personal individual consciousness evolving into, you know, a green person with four arms and wings or whatever, you still imagine that you are a person inside that thing and that you remember your life as you were now and you remember how you got to that point. But let me spin a different scenario. If we get to the point where we can back up our memories and our feelings, we may be able to then share them with other people. Other people may be able to incorporate all of our life experience. We may be able to incorporate theirs. When you get married with someone, you may not just negotiate whether you have a joint bank account. You may negotiate how much of your personal memory space you're going to merge, right? How much access you're going to give to one another to your brain space. And so the boundaries between us as individuals will begin to blur. You'll have certain boundaries with your church, with your party, with your family, with your spouse. And there will be some who will eliminate those boundaries altogether, who will want a corporate existence of some kind, like the Borg, which was a particularly horrific example of that.
From Star Trek.
Right.
Well, to play this out for a moment, you've written about how you figure that people, humans, post-humans, whatever you want to call them, in the future will live very long. I mean, hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years. And that they might actually develop different selves. I mean, they might be for 40 years an astrophysicist, and for the next 30 years, I don't know, a basketball player.
Right. Well, you could have personality splitting. So you know, you might copy yourself and into some media, and send one part of yourself off to go be an astronaut. You know, to go colonize Mars, and then you would have this kind of family of selves, and you could share certain memories among your family of selves. Or not. You know, they could just be like children, like mind children of some kind. I think there are going to be all kinds of options in this domain. And the real challenge for us to legally and philosophically is that our culture, Western culture, is based on this notion of liberal individualism. It's based on the idea of individual people being autonomous and having control of their affairs. And that's just going to erode. We're going to see how incredibly illusory all of that is.
Well, it's also based on life. I mean, that there's a certain sanctity to life, and that one should be very careful about tampering with that, and certainly one shouldn't destroy it. I mean, that's considered profoundly immoral.
Well, the post-human or the transhuman philosophy doesn't necessarily deny the sanctity of life. It just argues that life can be diverse. But, you know, when people ask me, okay, so you want to be immortal, I say, no, I don't want to be immortal, but what I want is to live long enough so that I understand how profoundly illusory the self is. And I've shared enough of my experiences and my thoughts, and I've stored them up and given them to other people enough that I no longer feel like this particular body existence needs to go on. That's the point at which I would really be comfortable letting go. And I think that that's the kind of the post-human equivalent of the Buddhist enlightenment, is the point where you really profoundly understand how illusory the self is. And these technologies will help us get there.
James Hughes is a sociologist and former executive director of the World Transhumanist Association. He's the author of Citizen Cyborg and an ordained Buddhist monk.